afternoon. And we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
Praise be to God.
All right, so here's what we're going to do this afternoon. We're going to first talk about the call to thankfulness, spend a few minutes on that, and then I'm going to give you an invitation to think through and process through how could your Advent, how could your next 4 weeks be marked by thankfulness. And so we'll start with the call to thankfulness. There are three verses we just read, and all three verses have a similar, they all three say something about being thankful, right? There's this refrain that's coming through in these three verses. I want to read it to you again and listen to it. Listen for this theme of thankfulness. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So question as we begin, question as you begin your Advent season, how hard is thankfulness for you? Kids, you can think through this one. How hard is it for you to be thankful? And then why might it be hard to be thankful? Why do you think sometimes it's difficult to be thankful? We'll let that one be rhetorical for right now. But we'll come back for a few others. The reality is that thankfulness is difficult for me, as I imagine it is for you, because I don't have everything I want. Right? I mean, that's sort of the bottom line is there are things that I still want that I don't yet have. And I am not in possession of experiences I don't have, relationships I don't have, a lot of different things that I don't have, a lot of things that aren't going the way I wish they would be going. And I imagine you can identify with me in that. I know you can. So how can Christians grow in obedience to this call to thankfulness, which this passage is obviously after? All in three verses, it comes up three different times, this call to be thankful. How can Christians do this, even when things aren't going our way? Because the reality is, it's easy to be thankful when everything is going right. You know, it's easy to be thankful when you do well on the test. But it's hard when you didn't do well. You know, it's easy to be thankful when your team's winning all their games, right? And you just feel a little better. It's harder when they're having a bad season, or they keep losing, or when VCU loses to ODU in basketball. It's a little rough. It's easy to feel thankful when the refrigerator's full. It's a little harder when it's empty. It's easy to feel thankful when the doctor's report is good. It's much more difficult when the report isn't good. It's easy to feel thankful when your family members are alive, present, and getting along. It's a lot more difficult when those things aren't true, right? It's easy to feel thankful when your friends are thinking for you and supporting you well. It's a lot more difficult when that might not be the case. And on and on and on and on. So continual thanksgiving actually requires a reorientation. And it's an orientation off of your circumstances and an orientation on to something different. It will require not basing the way you feel about on your circumstances, because those things are going to continually change. And the command is to a level of thanksgiving that isn't dependent on your circumstances. A deeper thanksgiving than just being on the ride of the roller coaster that is your life circumstances. The reality is that all of our lives are going to be marked by ups and downs. It's going to be like being on a roller coaster. Sometimes it's going to feel good and it's going to feel great and everything's going to feel like it's going your way. And other times, like, whoa, where did that turn come from? I didn't see that coming. Or how is everything going downhill right now? All of a sudden, it feels like everything is, we're going exponentially faster and in the wrong direction. That's what life feels like as you live it out. Some of you might not know that. You're sort of still on you're still slowly creeping up, thinking everything is going to go well. And what's getting ready to happen is like you're getting ready to get shot down or around or get surprised in one way or another. Life is a roller coaster. So how does Thanksgiving come about that isn't dependent on your circumstances, which are like a roller coaster? Well, it's only as your Thanksgiving is grounded in God. It's the kind of Thanksgiving that comes about when you realize that there's something bigger than the roller coaster ride that you are on and that we're all on. It's the kind of Thanksgiving when you begin to realize that God is the one who created the roller coaster. That he's the one who owns it, that he's the one who controls it, that he is with you on the ride, and that the end of this ride will be good for you, even though you don't deserve it to be good. When you begin to reorient in that way, you begin to feel different. You begin to be able to step into a little bit more of Thanksgiving, even when a twist or a turn or a down might be coming your way. So do you have a Thanksgiving that is rooted in God and not in your circumstances? I want to spend the rest of our time inviting you into how you might begin to develop that in this Advent season. I want to do it through this passage. There's a lot of other things we can invite you to. I'm just going to pull out a few things from this passage that I would invite you to over these next 4 weeks. If you want to grow in thankfulness, if you want to have a different sort of experience over this Advent season, here's a few things from this passage. This is the invitation for Advent thankfulness. First, pray for Christ's peace to rule in your hearts. Pray for Christ's peace to rule in your hearts. That's in verse 15. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, the reality is we all pursue peace in different ways. And if you've spent any time dealing with folks or have been through this yourself, you recognize that very often an alcohol or drug abuse problem is based off this fact. I wanted some peace in my life. And I found it nowhere else but in alcohol or drugs. And as I pursued those things for a moment, I felt a bit of peace. We're all in pursuit of peace. We all want to feel the waters that are rushing all around us. We just want to feel things calm down. We want to feel like something around us is in control. We want that sense of peace. So you want peace. I want peace. We all want it. And this passage says that there is a peace available to us. It's a peace that comes through Jesus. And now we're never going to know this peace fully until Jesus' second advent. Until he comes a second time, we will not know it in fullness. But this passage is meant to help us and say to look at the world and go, there is peace to be found. And I can experience some of it. I can get a taste of it. I can grow in it. I can experience more of it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by alcohol, not by drugs, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can grow in having more peace in my life. So the first invitation is this: proactively and reactively walk through Advent asking God for peace in your hearts. This would be so proactively, just waking up in the morning, going, God, would you give me peace today? I need it. Would you do this work in me? I recognize naturally I don't move towards peace. I need this. Would you do this? So that's a proactive element. Then there's the reactive element. As you encounter things through your day and you're bumping up against this and that, the things that have you all over the place, you say, God, I need your peace. Right now, I'm about ready to hurt somebody. Either at work or at school or in your neighborhood, whatever it is, you just say, God, I need your peace right now. I'm struggling. Would you give it to me? Ask him to let the reality of the gospel sink into your heart and impact the way you react and respond as you walk through this season and its potential ups and downs. So the second invitation comes from verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Because the reality is there are many other things that are going to command your attention over the next 4 weeks, right? There's a lot of parties, different things at work, maybe different things in your neighborhood. A lot of, you know, you might have to shop for somebody. You might have to be thinking for, hey, how am I going to do this or that? All sorts of different things will be competing for your attention. And I want you to consider, how could I, over the next 4 weeks, this Christian holiday, how could I let the word of Christ dwell in me richly in this season? Now, coming consistently on Sundays to hear God's word read and preached, I hope that's something that you're doing consistently and you can continue to do that. I hope that reading through the Bible and some sort of Bible reading plan is something you're doing now and that you continue to do through this season. But I want to invite you to think of some creative ways to add to those things over these next 4 weeks, and maybe some ways to do something a little bit different. It might be an opportunity to just let the word of Christ draw on you richly by picking some passage that relates to Jesus' coming, and you try and memorize it with somebody else. You say, hey, I want the word of Christ to dwell in me richly. And will you talk to a friend or somebody that lives in your house, and you say, hey, would you be willing to memorize these two or three sentences with me over these next 4 weeks? I'd love to do this with you. Maybe you pick up a book, a Christian book off the book table, a book about Advent in some sense, and certain nights, instead of watching TV, you say, hey, I want to read. I want to dive into this. I would love to finish this book by Christmas and let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. I'd invite you to get creative and to think through this. Maybe you get a group of friends together and you read through some of the gospel accounts of the incarnation. And if you're a parent, maybe there's some ways you can engage with God's word that you and your kids process through this season together. So pray for Christ's peace to rule in your heart. Seek to engage the word. And third, this invitation is from verse 16. It says, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And again, I hope you come consistently on Sunday. We sing together every Sunday, and I hope you keep doing that, because that is good. And it is good for your mind and your heart and your soul and everything in you to be engaged in worship through song. And if you'll look on the front of your bulletin, we'll read a quote here from a guy named John Piper, and he's talking about why is it important for believers to sing together? What does this do for us? I'll read it, and it's there for you on the front of your bulletin. It says this: the reason we sing is because there are depths and heights and intensities and kinds of emotion that will not be satisfactorily expressed by mere prosaic forms. That means by mere written forms or even poetic readings. There are realities that demand to break out of prose into poetry, and some demand that poetry be stretched into song. What he's saying is there's some things that aren't meant to just stay on a page. They're not just meant to be read. They're meant to be engaged with your whole being and meant to be sung. And there's something incredibly powerful when you not just sing that by yourself in the shower, but when you do that together, even if you don't have a great voice, like me. There's something incredibly powerful about being engaged with all of who you are and singing in those ways. And so I invite you to saturate yourself this season with Advent music, not just jingle bells or something about Santa Claus coming to town, but with Advent music, which music that speaks to and sings of Jesus' first coming and looks forward to his second coming, to maybe buy some CDs, to pull them out and to say, hey, this is part of what I do. This is part of what we do in this season. We camp out in this music together and we sing it together. Kids, you could ask your parents what their favorite Advent songs are, and then you can tell them what yours are. And so I invite you to think about how could we sing together in this season? Sundays, definitely, but even other times. The ink is still drying on a deal that the Lourish Northside Group and the Reeves Northside Group just put together. But we're gonna get together on a Tuesday night and we're gonna sing. And Audrey's going to play music, and we're going to get our Northside groups together in a couple weeks, and we're going to sing together. And I invite you to think about how are there some folks that you could get together that you could process through? Hey, let's get together and let's sing. Let's take these songs that speak beautiful, glorious truths, and let's sing them together. I invite you to do that. So pray for Christ's peace to rule in your heart. Seek to engage the word. Listen to some Advent songs and get together with others to sing them. And next, For some of you, this is going to be a bit of a paradigm shaker. But the fourth invitation is from verse 17, which says this: "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I'll call it this. The invitation is to seek to maintain a Christ consciousness and thanksgiving. Seek to maintain a Christ consciousness and thanksgiving. And those are big words, but this is a really big concept. I want to explain what I mean here. The reality is that what verse 17 is saying is that Christianity can't be limited to just a few activities. It can't be limited to just putting a few things on your calendar and go, hey, I'm going to celebrate Advent this year by doing this. I'm going to make sure, okay, I got my Sunday worship on the calendar. I got my Bible reading here, over here. I'm going to do a hymn sing. I've got these things on the calendar. I am covered. I'm good. The reality is that what verse 17 is saying is incredibly challenging, because what it's saying is that Jesus can't be limited to that time or that space. That that all those things are good and we're invited into them, but those things are meant to point us to something else. Not just back to themselves, but to the reality that Jesus is Lord over all of our lives. And that everything we do is meant to be done in thanksgiving to him, with a consciousness that he is ruling over us in every single way. And this can be mind-blowing, because we are not used to this level of relationship. We're just not used to this level of relationship. Kids, you have teachers at school, right? And they are in charge of you for a period of time, right? You show up, you walk in the classroom, and from the time you set foot there, the teacher is in charge, right? And then they exert some influence over you even when you go home by giving you homework, right? But over the summer, do they exert any influence? You've gotten through the fourth grade, going into fifth grade. That fourth grade teacher is no longer over you, right? They no longer have authority over how you spend your time and what you do and all of those different things, right? The same thing happens at work. You show up at work tomorrow morning, your boss is in charge. You know, whatever you do, whenever you get there, your boss is over you. But when you go on vacation, your boss doesn't tell you whether to watch this movie or that movie, or spend this money or that money. Your boss has a limited role in your life. Your boss has a period of time and a place in which they are in authority over you. Your boss has limits in their authority over your life. Your teacher has limits in their authority over your life, but Jesus does not have limits in the authority over your life. He does care about what movie you watch when you're on vacation. He does care about how you spend your money then. He does care about what you do over the summer, what you read, what you give yourselves to. He cares about all of those things, and his authority extends over all of those things. His authority isn't limited in any way. And so in every way, in everything you do, this passage is saying, hey, Jesus cares. And you're meant to be conscious of his authority over your life and to give thanks to him in all that you do, not just the quote-unquote religious activities that you'll participate in. So verse 17, does it say this? "And some things you do in word or deed, do some things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." It's not what it says, is it? Look at it again. "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." So what this passage is getting at is not just the religious practices. This passage is saying, hey, everything you do over the next 4 weeks can be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. You can go to work tomorrow, even if most of us don't work in Christian institutions, and you can do your job with a consciousness of God and a thankfulness to him. That you can stand in long lines in a grocery store in the name of Jesus and with thanksgiving. There's a way to try and put up decorations around your house without killing each other in the name of Jesus and with thanksgiving. There's a way to work hard on your school projects that are all coming due in the name of Jesus and with thanksgiving. There's a way to be with your family, though it might be incredibly difficult, in the name of Jesus and with thanksgiving. There's a way, there's not a way to slander your coworkers or to slander your classmates in the name of Jesus and with thanksgiving. And there is not a way to be greedy and to hoard in the name of Jesus and with thanksgiving. You see, there can be others who seek to dominate your life this season of Advent. And I want to hold out to you that no one else should dominate your life during this season or any other season other than Jesus. And Jesus is the authority over your life that you don't have to buck. You think about that analogy. If you've seen a bull, and what happens is a bull rider goes on top of them, and as soon as that bull rider comes on top of them, the bull begins to do what? Begins to go crazy, right? Begins to try and buck him off. The bull naturally does not want to be under that person's authority. Doesn't want to be told what to do. Doesn't want to have anybody over them in any way. And so it bucks. And eventually it bucks the person off, right? But the reality is that Jesus is the authority that we don't have to buck. He's not the authority who wants to rule us out of malice. He's actually the authority who wants the best for us. And as you reflect on it, no other authority in your life loves like he loves. No other authority has an eye for your good like he does. And no other authority has served you the way he has. So during this Advent season, we pause again to reflect on the reality that God has come to earth. That the God who created the world came to the world. That he was willing to put on human flesh. And that he was willing to be born. That he was willing to come in and to live the life that we should have lived. To die the death we should have died. And it is amazing to me. I kind of can't get over this. That he came. But not just did he come, but he didn't come as a king. And he didn't come in this century. He came over 2,000 years ago and was born in a manger. And he lived this normal life. And for 3 years was without a place to lay his head. And he stepped in to our world. He didn't live high on the hog. He just put one foot in front of the other in obedience to his father. And putting one foot in front of the other in obedience to his father led him somewhere. And led him to a cross. It led him to a place where he would have the wrath of God poured out on him for the penalty for the sins of all of his people. It led him to be tortured and to be killed. So friends, it's because Jesus has come that we can be thankful. It wasn't just that he was born. It was that he lived the life we should have lived. He died the death he should have died, that we should have died, and that he now sits ascended at the right hand of God waiting to come again. And so if you've responded to him in repentance and faith, which I invite you to if you haven't, then you don't only have the roller coaster of life. You have a relationship with the one who owns the roller coaster, created the roller coaster, and knows how the roller coaster ends. Because Jesus came, thankfulness can seep more and more into our lives this Advent season because we have something to be tremendously thankful for. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that Jesus has come. And God, I pray that reality, the reality of the gospel would seep into our lives, that it would seep into our lives this over these next 4 weeks. As all the other things come our way, as school pressures or work pressures or family pressures, the pressure we put on ourselves to create certain things in certain ways, as all of those things come, God, would folks in this room know your peace? Would they know what it is to walk with you, to be conscious of your presence, and to be thankful for who you are and for what you have done? God, we pray for that and ask for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as is our custom, we're going to take a moment, prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper.